When perfect lives come crashing down, some people say they come down with a vengeance. The more perfect the life, the more complete the destruction. I've heard that. I can't remember the few places I'd heard it before my 10 days in the Atlantic City Medical Center. But one place I seem to remember that from is church. I seem to remember this theory that we're all dealt 52 cards by the end of our lives. If you get all aces in the beginning, you have a greater chance of getting your twos and threes in rapid succession later. And when we die, the dying part makes me think that the church had something to do with this lesson, we stand up in front of God, sort of realizing that there are no greater lives, only greater beginnings, middles, or ends, and greater depths under lesser appearances. For 16 years I had a perfect life. I got my share of twos and threes in the weeks following the corpse. My head started to clear, and I kept waiting to get arrested. One of the threes was not getting to go home after being released from the hospital. I got transported to a mental health facility up near Camden, which specializes in several things, one of which is post-traumatic stress disorder. I was convinced, when I first found out, that it was some maneuver of my mom's to put off my getting arrested. I call it a three, because a two would have been getting arrested in the hospital. A two was that this mental health facility also specializes in eating disorders, and there were actually twin sisters from my high school admitted there for treatment. They were cheerleaders, Lisa and Ariel Cortez, and I felt kind of surprised because they were beautiful girls who weren't like skin and bones. I guess they recognized me, too. You might think that people in mental health would be very sympathetic toward another person in mental health. I was in a haze the first 3 weeks, but got the gist somehow. I think they were very embarrassed to see someone they knew, and they went to town making sure the other patients knew that my situation was a lot worse than theirs. They would whisper to other patients, and I had the pleasure of overhearing them a couple times. "Helped kill that Chris Creed kid out in the woods. Just hasn't gotten arrested yet. Did something with the body. Made him crazy." A definite two, especially during those first 3 weeks when the truth about what actually happened hadn't sunk in yet. Probably the biggest ace I received is that particular truth. It's the hardest thing for me to talk about, even still. It takes me back to that 10-day stay in the medical center, which I have almost completely blocked out, except for me regressing to nursery rhymes. I don't like to think about it or tell it, but it's the tail end of my saga, so I'm letting fly. My mom came in the same day I first talked to Dr. Foddy, despite Nurse Flannery's big-mouthed threats. My mom said, "There's been an autopsy. I'm going to tell you about it." I couldn't remember what an autopsy was, and I don't think she really expected me to comprehend it all. I'd say she wanted to tell it, just so it would be out there, and I could chew on it when I felt like it.